And that's so important that the world has an opportunity to experience that. And we will have an opportunity to experience that. But in the meantime, some of you will remember back in the heydays of television, there was a show called To Tell the Truth. You don't have to nod or anything to give away your age. I don't remember it. But the show was about three people who all claimed to be the same person. They all had stories about their lives, about the things they had accomplished or the things that had happened to them. And then there was a panel of four people who had to vote and decide which one of these people is the real whomever they said they were, based on what they heard, what they saw, the demeanor of the people. So after the questioning was done, they would vote and vote on who they thought, based on what they knew, what they heard, what they saw, who was the real person, and who were the people there lying and deceiving them. So then after the vote, the moderator would say, would the real whomever please stand up? And the person would stand up. Sometimes the panel got it right, and many times they got it wrong. They were deceived. They were fooled. And that's the title of my message today. Will the real devil please stand up? Because that's how the devil operates. It's very hard sometimes to know who is the real devil. What's really going on? As Christians, we can become confused and have difficulty identifying who our real enemy is. There are so many distractions in our lives that we deal with every day. So much going on. But that can cause us to lose focus and not see clearly or fully understand who is attacking us. You know, we have to have that focus. It would be just like driving a car. You're out in the country, you've got a big road there, everything clear and just straight for miles. As long as you maintain that focus, you're good. But if you close your eyes, if you look over to the one side or another and take your eyes off of the road, quickly you're going to be in trouble. You're going to find yourself in a ditch, up against a tree, something, because you've taken your eye off of your goal of staying on that road. Millions of people throughout the world, because of being deceived, don't believe the devil is a real being. So somebody in a red suit with a pointed tail, a couple horns, and a pitchfork. Not real. Millions of people around the world think that God isn't real. Millions of people around the world think that the stories in the Bible describe the devil as evil, and that we should be on our guard against his attacks, that these stories are only fairy tales. They're not real. They just are there to scare us into being good. The devil is good at what he does, what he does best, and that's deception. He deceives people from all different backgrounds. Doesn't matter who you are. White, black, Hispanic, Asian, people all over the world, people like you and me. He does a job on us. He is so good at deception. As I said before, millions of people do not believe that he even exists, that he's not real. But as the body of Jesus Christ, as the church of God, we must always know who the real devil is and what he's doing and how he does it. How he's trying to take our future away from us. Because that's his goal. He wants to destroy everything that God has created, Satan would love to destroy. So let's take a look at Scripture and check out who God says the real devil is. Not our thoughts or our ideas, but who does God say the real devil is? Just as Jesus Christ is known by many different names in the Bible that describe him and his role and what he does and what he represents, the devil has many names as well that describe him and what he represents. But each name gives us a description and helps us to clearly recognize who the real devil is. Of course, Revelation 12:9, he is the deceiver of the whole world. Deceives the whole world. Genesis 3:4, he's called a serpent. We all know what a serpent does, slithers around, getting in things he shouldn't be getting into. Matthew 12:24, Beelzebul, which means the ruler of demons. Matthew 13:19, the devil is described as the evil one. Luke 10:18, he's called Satan. John 8:44, the father of lies. That's how Jesus Christ described him, the father of lies. John 14:30, the ruler of the world. The devil is a powerful being. And that description of him, the ruler of the world, shows us that. 2 Corinthians 6:15, Belial. It means a person who is vile, who is wicked, who causes destruction. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God, small g, the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And this is why we have to be so careful and so alert and to be able to recognize Satan, because here he's called the angel of light. And we'll look at that scripture here in a little bit. But the angel of light, that's how he's described. Ephesians 2:2, prince of the power of the air, broadcasting 24/7. Ephesians 6:12, the spiritual force of wickedness. The force behind all of the bad things that go on. All the sin that goes on in this world. Spiritual force of wickedness. 1 Peter 5:8, adversary, enemy. Number one, enemy. Revelation 9:11, angel of the abyss. Angel of the abyss. Revelation 12:10, the accuser of our brethren. Continually accusing you and I of the inability to serve and obey God. Look at them, God. What a bunch of people you're wasting your time on. They can't do anything right. They don't honor you. They keep sinning. They do this, they do that. Why do you waste your time, God? That's how Satan feels about us. Continually accusing us. Revelation 22, he's called a dragon. Which one of us want to go face to face with a dragon? That's how Satan is described, and that's how we have to see him. That he is real. That he's on a mission. That he has a purpose. So how is it possible that with all of these names used to describe our enemy, we along with the rest of the world and God's people at times get confused about who the real devil is? We don't recognize that he's attacking us. But there are two things we must realize. The devil is a spirit being. He's powerful and wants to do and will do whatever he can do to destroy us. The other thing is that we in the body of Jesus Christ are blessed. We're blessed to have the Holy Spirit of God within us. God's Spirit helps us to identify and know who the real devil is by his actions, how he attacks us. What weapons is he using? Through the Holy Spirit of God, we can recognize those things. We're not caught defenseless. John 4, if you turn there with me, John 4. John 4 and verse 24. John 4 and verse 24 says, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That we understand that God is supreme. God makes the rules. God sets the laws in place. And God is a creator of everything, including the devil. Having daily contact with God and praying for his godly wisdom, his strength to help us to see and know who the real devil is. Every day, because Satan attacks us every day. There are many examples we can use to evaluate our knowledge of who the devil is. We can evaluate by what knowledge we have if we know who the real devil is. By this example, I chose to use an example that's near and dear to all of us in God's church, one we can all understand, wrap our minds around. And that example is the Sabbath. Many of us remember when the leadership of our past church organization tried to convince us that the Sabbath day no longer needed to be kept. Very convincing arguments, a lot of material, a lot of ideas, a lot of reasoning. But the reasoning was the same old reasoning that has been used for thousands of years. Satan doesn't change that way. He's still on the same program, still uses the same reasoning to deceive people. But thousands of church members stood up worldwide to these men who tried to deceive them and refuse to follow them. To follow them and their misguided thinking. Members left that group and continued to keep God's Sabbath day along with the other commandments. As Christians, we knew who was behind this effort to destroy God's church. To destroy us. Because we knew what the scripture said about how the devil attacks. We knew it was him and only him that was making this attack. We were up on the tactics our enemy used. Because it used them many times before this to try to destroy God's people. So we knew where that attack was coming from. And who was doing it. But now, we're here over 20 years since that time. Since that devastating attack on God's church. And on us as individuals. Many people were taken out by that attack. If all of those people were here today, this building wouldn't be big enough to hold them. But Satan was partially successful. But can we say we won the battle? We're here today on God's Sabbath day, so does that mean we won the battle? Has the devil gone off somewhere to lick his wounds? He's moved down. He's going to leave us alone because we stood up for God's truth. Does he realize now that we're too strong spiritually for him to even mess with? I'll leave them alone. Can't get to them. Or is he still trying to destroy us using other battle strategy? Well, we know through Scripture, we know through all of those examples, he does not quit. Doesn't give up. Are you and I still standing up for God's Sabbath day? Do we still feel that same way? Or has the devil found another way to cause us to water down God's precious gift of the Sabbath to us? Is he attacking in a different way? Is he being more subtle? Still trying to accomplish what he set out to accomplish. How do you and I, now, all these years later, how do you and I keep this 24-hour period that God has set aside and sanctified as holy? How do we keep this 24-hour period spending time with our God? Let's turn to Exodus 20. An example we're very familiar with, or a scripture we're very familiar with. Exodus 20. Very simple. Very to the point. Pretty black and white. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. A commandment for God's people. Nothing's changed. God is clear that we are commanded to keep his holy Sabbath day, so how are we doing? We fought the big battle. We stood up for it. But all these years later, how are we doing? Genesis 1:5. Just to make something very clear here. Genesis 1 in verse 5. Genesis 1 and verse 5, it said, then God said, let there be, and let me go back up to verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So now we've defined what a day is. A day is a 24-hour period. God's Sabbath day is a 24-hour period. Holy time that God has sanctified and set aside. So out of that 24 hours, we sleep 8 of those hours. So now we're talking about 16 hours. So how are we doing in that 16-hour period on God's Sabbath day? What are we doing with our time? The competition for this time on God's Sabbath has increased because our weeks have become so busy, and to try to get everything done many times is impossible. So some of these things, some of the things we do are creeping over into God's holy time, God's Sabbath day. Some of our own personal pleasures are sneaking over into God's time. So is part of God's holy day Sabbath now being used for things other than the worship of God? Everyone has emergencies come up. Everyone has personal or family illness. We know that. That happens. That's life. So there are times when we can't spend all of those hours with God. But my question to you and me is, have we allowed our ability to recognize the real devil? Or has it become unclear? And has he began to influence us into thinking that we can decide how best to keep God's Sabbath? When God has already done that. God has already laid out how to keep His Sabbath day and how He wants it to be kept, how He wants it to be worshiped. I can't do that. You can't do that. God's already done it. Let's turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Very familiar scriptures. But again, God has said, this is how to keep my Sabbath day. Isaiah 58 verse 13. Isaiah 58 verse 13. It says, If you and I turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Folks, this is how I want you to keep my Sabbath. This is how you can honor me and worship me on my holy day. But this is just one example of who the real devil is. He could not deceive us into giving up the Sabbath. We weren't going to do that. No way, no how. But could he attack us again and deceive us into watering it down? To making it less important in our lives. To making it just another day. I've got to give God, services are 2 hours, I'm going to give God 2 hours today. Well, that's how we would do it. But that's not how God would do it. But Satan can certainly influence us and influence our reasoning and thinking and thought process to make that seem okay. Second Corinthians chapter 11, if you turn there with me. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. And in verse 13, here a warning for us, for God's people, and the world. But in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Bad information, false information, deception. Well, who does that? And then it goes on in verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Satan will use whatever he can get his hands on to use. What will work on you? What will work on me? Those are the tactics he uses. But it says here, it'll appear to be an angel of light. We shouldn't be surprised. Because he's always done that. And we should always be on guard. and not allow ourselves to be taken in by who he appears to be or who he says he is. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Again, another warning for us. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We can't allow our minds to be corrupted, and that's what Satan tries to do. A little bit of truth here, a little bit of lie here. Let's mix it up. We have to be spiritually mature enough to discern truth from falsehood. With God's Holy Spirit, we can do that. But we have to use God's Spirit. We have to be led by God's Holy Spirit. We can't allow our minds to be corrupted by the devil. God's given us instruction on how to protect ourselves from any attack. Anything that the devil can do, we have instruction. We're being trained on how to do that. How do we protect yourself? You know, that's the last thing that the referee tells a boxer before that bell rings. Protect yourself at all times. Never take your eyes off your opponent. Because if you do, you're probably going to hit the canvas. Protect yourself at all times. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, and we've heard these scriptures again many, many times, but this is what protects us. This is what keeps us alert to recognize the real devil, to not allow him to come in and deceive us or to convince us he's somebody else. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. You know, not just do it in a mediocre way, but fully protect ourselves to make sure we are on guard. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, we need to do everything as Christians that we can do. And that relationship with God, that trust in God daily will allow us to stand and give us that armor that will protect us. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan's attacks, they don't penetrate our faith, our love, our the way we honor God, the way we serve God, the way we love one another, having that godly love. Satan can't penetrate that. None of his attacks can. And in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. This is who we are. This is our life. God has called us out of the world. God has given us His truth. Satan wants to take that away. We have to continue to stand up for the truth of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, if you turn there with me. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, and in verse 3. Again, being alert, being on guard, knowing that the devil is there to take away what God has given us, if we allow it. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And in verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? God tells us these things. Jesus Christ has told us these things. Beware, be on guard, be strong spiritually. God has made sure that we've been given a warning through his word, through the gospel of Jesus Christ and the apostles, that we're aware. Matthew chapter 6. Again, Jesus Christ giving us an example here, because even the disciples didn't know how to pray. And they asked that, how do we pray? What do we pray for? And these are the things that Jesus Christ said we should be praying for every day, so that we keep that and maintain that close relationship with God. But his example, and beginning in verse 9, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins and our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Protect us. Help me today, God. Another day, help me to recognize the real devil. Help me to recognize his attacks. And to look to you and depend on you for deliverance. Because Satan is always there, lurking around. He's described as a serpent, slithering around, just waiting for an opportunity. He does that even when we're first called. He does that. He's there. When people are first called. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. We don't want to turn there because we've already been there. Matthew 6, that's what I wanted. Matthew 6. Do what? 13. Yeah, verse 13. Matthew 6, verse 13. I've already read that. How did I get mixed up here? Matthew 13. Yes, I should listen to Randy. He's heard this before. Well, we know he paid attention. It's more than apparently I did. Matthew 13. And in verse 19. And here it's talking about, it's explaining the parable of the sower. But this just goes to show that Satan is there, waiting to attack, waiting to take the precious truth of God or the calling of God away from us. And in verse 19 it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, and that describes us when God called us, we didn't understand everything. We didn't understand even the Sabbath. Clean and unclean meats, the holy days. We didn't understand all the commandments. There were a lot of things we didn't understand. And God worked with us and helped us to begin to understand that. But in the meantime, It says, then the wicked one comes out and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Satan just waiting to snatch anyone God is trying to work with, taking them away. And as we read earlier, with false ministers, false apostles, everything false, Satan will use to take them away. But it shows us that the devil is always there waiting to attack us when he sees an opportunity. John 17. John 17. Jesus Christ knew the challenges that we as human beings are up against. How hard it can be living in this world, the difficulties we face. But he also knew Satan would be there to attack, to deceive, because that's what he does. And in his prayer to his Father, he said this, I do not pray that you should take them, talking about us, take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Protect them. Help them to understand and to see who the real devil is so that they can defend themselves. In verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Keep them to yourself. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into this world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. The devil hates God's truth. He wants to destroy it, pervert it, misrepresent it, whatever he can do. But Jesus Christ knows the power that Satan has. And he asked his Father to protect us. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. God has called us into his work, into the body of Jesus Christ, into his church. He will protect us. He will guard us if we allow him to do that. If we're aware that Satan will attack any way and anyhow he can do that, that we're on guard for that. You and I can fall into the trap of deception because the devil continually sets traps for each one of us. But it's important that we never lose sight of who the real devil is, that we don't get confused. Because he's changed this or he's changed that. He's changed his look. Oh, that's an angel. Or this is a good guy. This guy wants only what's best for me. He's giving me new truth. We have to be careful because Satan will appear to be anyone representing anything that may cause us to destroy our relationship with God. The Apostle Paul in his second letter to Timothy told Timothy to remind the church members of things that had been taught, including to how to recognize the real devil. Be reminded of that so we don't lose that ability. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2, if you would. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2 and in verse 14. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 14. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, knowing God's truth, studying the scriptures, proving God, but knowing what's true and what's false. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And we've all heard the babblings and the nonsense from someone who is smarter than we are, smarter than God, who has the real truth, who has a real story. We've all heard that. Verse 17, and their message will spread like cancer. And it does. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some with these stories, with this nonsense. That's how Satan works. That's how the devil gets his message through. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing that awful, that wisdom and that truth. I didn't know. Angel of light. Just want to help you. Want to help you to understand. Verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're to flee iniquity, to flee sin, to stay away. That's what Scripture tells us. Don't get close. That fire's hot. We don't need to touch it to find that out. We know Satan is death to us. So we stay away from him. In verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I love this in 23 because God is just so clear. He's not politically correct. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. They don't get you anywhere. We don't have to argue God's word. We don't have to debate God's word. We have to seek God's wisdom and His help to understand His word. But we don't have to debate it or argue about it. In verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility. A big word. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. And that's where all of this is. It's a snare. It's a trap set by Satan, that we get involved and get off course and get off talking about things that are absolutely meaningless. How many people have left the truth of God for nonsense, for foolishness? A lot of people. And escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Mission accomplished. We have to know who the devil is. We have to recognize him. We can't allow him to be able to deceive us, cause us to think he's somebody he's not, cause us to think he's a good guy. It's not so bad. Nothing is off limits to Satan. He has no respect for his own creator. So why would he have respect for you and I? He tried to take over the throne of his creator. We're meaningless as far as respect goes for Satan. We're an annoyance. And he wants to destroy us. Matthew 24. Thank you. Matthew 24 and in verse 24. And this talks about you and me. This talks about God's people, those who God has called. That without God's protection, without that relationship with God, what can happen? Verse 24 said, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive." Satan's number one weapon. To deceive, if possible, even the elect. If possible. And if we take our eyes off our goal, if we don't maintain that relationship with our Creator God, if we start listening to babblings and nonsense and foolishness that has nothing to do with God, if we get sidetracked and pulled from God's truth, we tear down the armor that we have. We're no longer protected. And if possible, even the elect would be deceived. And in verse 25, "See, I have told you beforehand." We have been told ahead of time. We have no excuse. Well, I didn't know Satan could do that. Now we know. We've been told that the devil will not stop his attacks. And he won't. He won't give up. He won't stop. He just won't. You and I and our destruction is what he's about. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. It says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance." Paul talking to Timothy here. 11, in verse 11, "persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." Paul's telling Timothy, God will take care of you. God will deliver you. Stay close. Maintain that relationship. And in verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." We know God's Word. We've been taught God's Word. That's what we hold fast to. Nothing else. And in verse 15, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, on guard, armored up, ready to withstand any attack that may come our way. Being equipped with the truth of God." 1 Peter, if you turn there with me. 1 Peter 5. Again, very familiar scriptures. 1 Peter 5. And in verse 8. It says, "Be sober." Talking to you and I. "Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, your number one enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And then it tells us what to do. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. God's people, Christians. Those God has called into his truth. Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to do away with us. We have to make a choice in our lives. Are we going to live according to God's way, or are we going to live according to our own ways? Are we going to make the decisions, or are we going to accept and live by God's decisions that have already been made concerning us, concerning the way that our God, our Creator, wants to be worshipped, how we're going to keep His laws? Are we going to keep His laws the way He wants them to be kept? Or are we going to make a few changes and keep them the way we want to keep them? Let's turn to James 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And in verse 7. This is on me and you. This is the directive we have for our protection, to make sure we can always recognize the real devil. James 4 and verse 7, it says, therefore submit to God. Have that relationship. Have that closeness. Worshiping God in the way He wants to be worshiped and honored and glorified. And then it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will be convinced by the way we live our life, by what's in our heart, what's in our mind, that I'm wasting my time here. They've got on the armor. They ask God every day for protection, for wisdom, to defend themselves. But it says if we will resist the devil, he will flee. That's what we need to do. Doesn't that sound great? The devil realizes that our relationship with God is special. That we seek God's protection. We seek His wisdom. We seek His help. And hopefully, through the way we live our lives, through our commitment, He doesn't want anything to do with us. He'll go elsewhere. So when we question our decisions as a Christian, when we think about how we're living our life, with the help of God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we can pray. We can study God's Word. To properly, without a doubt, no question, we will be able to point and say, that is the real devil.